This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Jonathan Rentels joins me live in studio. He is the founder and the executive director at the Center for Creative Voices in Media, online at creativevoices.us. How are you, sir? Happy New Year.
I'm doing great.
Haven't seen you for a few weeks.
Happy New Year.
How was your holidays?
Oh, they were great. Thanks. Boy, are we celebrating the last 10 days or however many days it's been.
Remind folks, Jonathan, the Center for Creative Voices in Media.
We are the Center for Creative Voices in Media. We're a group representing independent media artists. We talk a lot about issues affecting media artists, such as media concentration and consolidation, censorship, extending broadband to all people, keeping broadband open to free speech and voices.
There you go. And your background, remind us too, because it's been a while since we've talked about this. Your background, of course, is in media as a writer, I know. You also produced as well, or?
Yes. Well, I started out as I graduated from the law school here. That's my connection to Charlottesville originally, back in 1980. I was a lawyer for 7 months, enjoyed the lot. But having risen to the top of the profession,
Six months too long, right?
Well, the writing bug bit. I sold a movie for television. I moved to Los Angeles in 1982. I moved back here in 1991 with my wife and budding family, and we've lived here ever since. And I've continued to write film and television. But I also started this nonprofit, the Center for Creative Voices in Media, to talk about these media issues that I felt were so compelling and troubling.
Yeah, you know? And not getting talked about enough as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you also recently, you were telling me before we went on the air, you recently sold a script to Law & Order. Is that right?
Well, I sold it, in 2007. They bought a story from me, which, like Grisham's, is in no way based on any kind of UVA story. I was writing the story, and the Writers Guild strike stopped all work, including my work. I'm a proud member of the Writers Guild, have been for 26 years, I guess. And when the strike ended after 3 months, there was no time for me to write it. They needed to turn it over very quickly. So they gave it to their staff. So when people look at television, there are a lot of different credits produced by supervising producer, associate producer, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Well, all those people in television are writers, and a lot of them worked on my story. And so the writing credit is story by me and teleplay, which is the actual script, by somebody else.
Oh, I got
and
it.
They did
okay.
a terrific job on it.
And that was a recent Law & Order that was
That was
broadcast?
On a few weeks ago. Yeah,
well,
early December, thank you. It was called Knock Off, and it's now available for download from iTunes, I guess, or Amazon.
Jonathan, what was the result of that whole strike? Because remind us again, the writers were striking because of digital rights, right? Because you could have something broadcast on television, but then when it's sold over and over again on downloads online, they were getting nothing.
That's right, basically nothing. And the idea was that, this is something we talk about at Creative Voices in Media and why I mentioned the download issue, so much of video, whether it's television or film or whatever, YouTube or, you know, user consumer generated video, as they say, is now consumed off the internet. And so people don't necessarily watch Law & Order at 10 o'clock on Wednesday night on NBC television or else miss it for all time.
Right.
They
right.
maybe record it on their DVR or download it the next day from iTunes or Zune or Amazon or buy a DVD. But more and more it's download. And what the strike was about was to secure in new media on those downloads something like we have in old media, which are royalties. We call them residuals.
Yeah.
But payments that continue, a stream of payments that continue whenever a show is replayed on television.
Right. And this is the very nature of capitalism. If you've produced some content that somebody wants to buy, you should get some benefit from your work.
That's right. That's right. And the television networks and the studios would say, well, this is just promotional. You know, we're just promoting the show on the internet. People don't actually go there to watch the show. It's just more advertising for the show.
They're saying that out of one side of their face. And the other side of the face of their investors, they're saying, hey, this is a great new revenue stream online.
Well, they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. You know, they tell Wall Street, you know, boy, we're making it hand over fist on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they're telling, you know, the writers and producers and directors and actors who are still fighting this issue and have been for many months. I don't know if you've read what's gone on in the Screen Actors Guild, but they've gone to an internal war over this because they still haven't made a deal for new media. And they just threw out their executive director of their union who was trying to negotiate with the studios.
So the writers and the folks who helped to create the product, so the actors have something to work with, they got a deal for new media.
The writers...
But the actors have not.
The writers and directors made their deal for new media, and the Screen Actors, there are two writers, there are two actors unions. One is AFTRA, the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, and the other is the Screen Actors Guild. And it's very complicated as to what their various jurisdictions are, and they overlap at some point. And they... instead of working together, blew apart. AFTRA made a deal very similar on these new media internet issues to the Writers Guild and the Directors Guild, but the Screen Actors Guild said that deal isn't good enough for us.
They want to do
better.
We
want a better deal.
Yeah.
And it's blown their union apart. Their executive director was fired or resigned, depending on who you talk to, about 3 days ago. And they're going to meet again with the producers next week.
Could there be an actor strike?
Well, that was the issue on the table, but the people who have lost power were the ones who seemed to be heading down the route of asking for a strike authorization. They've basically been replaced.
Okay.
And so a more moderate faction is now seeming to run things, and they'll probably make a deal pretty quickly.
I will tell you, we're talking with Jonathan Rentels, the founder and executive director of the Center for Creative Voices in Media. You can learn more online at creativevoices.us. I will tell you, speaking of downloads, there's basically three television shows that I watch. 30 Rock, The Office, and Mad Men. I have never seen them on television.
Right.
Never.
Right.
I've only seen... I watch 30 Rock and... 30 Rock and The Office on Hulu. Hulu.com,
right.
Which is a creative venture, I think NBC and Fox.
Correct.
Tons of free television and movies there. And I bought Mad Men on iTunes.
Uh-huh.
So I just bought like a season package. It was like $20. I bought the season package. Every time there was a new show, it automatically downloaded into iTunes, and I just clicked play.
Right.
And just watched
it. Subscribe to it.
Yeah, I've never seen it on...
Over the internet. Well,
yeah. And it was worth it to me because I think it's one of the best television programs that's ever been made. It's fantastic, Mad Men.
Yeah, I'm humiliated to say that I have not seen it because I haven't subscribed to it on iTunes. It's not on my satellite package. That particular channel. But that's how, I guess, the electronically savvy generation coming up is consuming video. I mean, you know, they're not tuning in. They're not making sort of a date with television the way we all used to have to.
Yeah, yeah.
When there were three networks on and only a few cable channels, and we didn't have, you know, you couldn't figure out how to program your VCR.
Right.
You know, it just flashed 12
or
all
before
the time.
VCR. When,
yeah, before VCR, you know, there's three networks.
Monday night is Little House on the Prairie. Tuesday night is Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley. I mean, it's just, you knew where you were going to be.
Right. And you made an appointment with your television set, you know, and, you know, oftentimes you spent family time there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And that's not the way it works anymore. Now, they have to come, you know, you make your own schedule and you watch it when you want to.
Yeah.
Through iTunes on your iPod or, you know, they have this cool new thing.
There's just multiple screens in the house now. When really there used to be one or two, now there's just multiple and different size screens throughout the house.
Right. And your computer monitor is now a television screen.
Yeah, yeah.
And your television can be a computer monitor because you know, Apple and others do this. Netflix is doing a great thing in terms of movie downloads to your television, but, you know, the movie comes in through the internet. They have a little box, and
it can put it from the download to your television set.
Right. You know, no fooling with the computer at all.
Yeah.
You know,
no going to the video store.
No.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So, that's amazing. And in fact, they just reported in this horrific economic environment a huge increase in subscriptions. Because they have this cool box, which means you don't have to get the DVD in the mail and send it back in the mail, you know, but it's just sitting there in your box, you know, in your box on top of your computer. And Apple has this thing which very few people know about, but is really neat, called Apple TV, which takes your downloads from iTunes and puts them on TV. So you don't have to look at that at that postage stamp screen on your iPod.
You can look at it on your big wide screen if you want to.
Yeah. So, I mean, those things illustrate what's coming down the pike.
Yeah. It's amazing how going to the video store is going to be seen one day as, like, you know, when we think of standing in a record store, flipping through records like right. we used to do when we were kids. You know, I can still remember when you went to a video store and one half of the building was VHS and the other half was beta, you know, right. before VHS went out. And it was just depending on what machine you had at home was going to, which one you would do.
Well, you know, it's an amazing time. There used to be these things called newsstands, you know, where they sold newspapers and magazines.
In the morning and the night.
That's right.
Yeah,
and there used to be this thing that was delivered to you every morning called a newspaper.
You're right, right.
You know, but
we are talking with Jonathan Rentels of the Center for Creative Voices and Media. We're going to take a break for local news and weather. And when we get back, Jonathan, let's talk about the big DTV transition to digital television. They're saying now that could be on hold. I think the Democrats in Congress want to put the brakes on that, perhaps. We'll also talk about the new stimulus package and what that might mean for broadband, and will it really create jobs here in Virginia? All that coming up after this break for local news and weather. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now. Jonathan Rentels is live in studio this afternoon. He is the founder and the executive director of the Center for Creative Voices in Media. You can learn a whole lot more online at creativevoices.us. Jonathan, let's talk about digital TV transition. Tell us first what this is and what's the very latest.
Okay. As anyone, I think, who has been watching TV over the last few weeks and months knows, there's supposed to be a digital television transition coming up on February the 17th. Now, what does that mean and why are we doing it? Well, the reason we're doing it is when spectrum or airwaves were allocated for over-the-air television, the analog technology was kind of sloppy and used a big chunk of airwaves, which are hugely valuable airwaves. Well, they've come along with a new digital technology, much more compression, doesn't need nearly as much bandwidth or spectrum or airwave, you know, however you want to call it, for the layman. And in fact, they can telecast six channels in less spectrum than the old one analog channel. So with that, the government saw an opportunity to take back all this wonderful analog spectrum and auction it and make tens of billions of dollars. And in fact, they have auctioned it and made $20 billion already without having actually auctioned all of it off.
And who buys it? Like, is it for new cell phones? Or
yes. Okay. Verizon and AT&T both bought the majority of it for new cell phone service, wireless internet service. So that's what that's going for. But the problem for the consumer is if you have an older television, it's an analog television that's not going to pick up the digital signal. So we have to have a transition. Okay. Well, sounds good on paper, but there are tens of millions of people who will be affected by this,
yeah.
Including myself. I watch our local Charlottesville channels over the air with a
really
with rabbit ears. Yeah, I'm old school.
You Luddite.
Well, we live in an area where we can only get satellite, so we couldn't get the local channels through the satellite. So if we want the local channels, we gotta, you know, make
put
our
on
own
the
way.
Rabbit ears. Yeah.
So we gotta put on the rabbit ears. So the government set up. You need a converter box, okay? And you can go to Best Buy or Walmart, or even the drugstores are selling. I saw one drugstore, CVS, I think, selling them now. And these converter boxes, which you attach to your television like you would attach a DVD player or a VCR, they cost between $40 and $60 or $70 or $80. And the government, and you can buy that today, okay? And hook that up, and on February 17th, you'll have no problem, because on February 17th is the day the government has said we're cutting off the analog telecasts and we're going pure digital. So if you're still watching analog telecasts at home over the air, this doesn't apply to people who get it through the satellite. It only applies to people who are using an antenna.
Yeah. So if you're on satellite, if you're on cable, any of that stuff,
if you're getting the local channels through cable or satellite, this information is not for you.
Yeah.
Other than as an illustration of how the best of intentions can often go horribly wrong. you have to hook up this box, okay? Now, February 17th, if you have an older, the newer televisions are digital, and they'll get the digital signal. You don't need a converter box for that. So instead of going out and getting a converter box, you could go out and buy a new television.
Yeah.
Which Best Buy would be happy to sell you. They're thrilled about this whole thing.
Yeah, I bet.
as are the TV manufacturers. But if you want to hold on to your old television and keep it working, you have to have one of the, and it's an older one, you have to have one of these digital boxes. Okay. The government, to ease this transition, set up a coupon program, which would, you can apply at DTV 2009.gov, I believe. I'm not quite sure of that website, but Google it and you'll find it in a second. And apply, and they will send you two coupons, each worth $40, to get two of these converter boxes. So your after coupon cost can be anywhere from $0 to $20 or $30 to get one of these converter boxes. Now, the broadcasters have been running, you know, wall-to-wall ads about this conversion because
it's everywhere right now.
They want to carry their audience over to digital. I mean, it's in their interest, you know, and they're desperate to keep their audience.
Keep those eyeballs, yeah.
Exactly. And unfortunately for them, in fact, what they're finding is a lot of people are just saying, ah, the heck with it. I'm not going to buy that converter box. I'll just subscribe to cable. And suddenly, the broadcast networks are being watched by people through cable as opposed to over the air, and they're only one of, you know, 20 or 30 channels on a cable box as opposed to over the air. They're one of four or five or six.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a problem for them. But anyway, here's what has happened. The government tried to do this kind of quick, dirty, and cheap, and they set up this coupon program, which bottom line ran out of money. So there are now over 3 million people on a waiting list for the $40 coupons to go buy a converter box. Now, the digital transition...
They made $20 billion, though, didn't they?
They made $20
billion. Where's that $20 billion?
And they, you know, allocated 12 cents to, you know, the coupon program. So, and they did it in a weird way. You get a coupon that is good for 90 days. And after 90 days, it's no good. So, and people are totally confused about this. They go, okay, I got my coupon now. I don't buy my box until February 17th? Well, no, the answer is you buy the box now. The digital broadcasting is going on now. It's just the analog will shut off. But anyway, a lot of people haven't used their coupons, which is a big problem because they can't issue new coupons until the old ones are expired. Very complicated. The bottom line
is... it sounds like the American government, doesn't it?
They goofed up. They goofed up in a big way, and they knew they were going to goof up, so they set the transition date to be right after the inauguration so that the last administration said, this isn't going to happen on our watch. We know this is going to be a mess, but we're going to be long gone.
Yeah.
And that's true. So when the new administration, the Obama administration, came in, they saw that this was a fiasco in the making, and they have asked Congress to please postpone the date from February 17th to June 12th so that they can get everyone off the waiting list, get the coupons distributed, put more money in the program, and get people successfully transitioned to the digital airwaves.
Gotcha.
So the Senate went along with that, and the House yesterday said no. And it's not clear for what reason they said no. But where it stands right now is there is no postponement. And unless something changes in the next 3 weeks, the analog signal by law will be shut off on February 17th. And the only thing you'll see if you have an analog television set without a digital converter box is a little scrolling message saying,
go buy your box.
Yo, dude. Didn't you get the memo?
But we're talking with Jonathan Rentels of the Center for Creative Voices in Media. But so that coupon program is basically shot. It didn't work. And if I hear
well,
you right,
it did work. It worked for millions of people. I mean, yeah. I have converter boxes on my television, and we get a lovely, perfect digital television signal. I mean, it's really a much improved signal. It's not snowy at all.
Yeah.
And this summer it was snowy, but the broadcasters had not yet turned their signal up to full power.
And now they are.
Now they are.
In anticipation of cutting off the analog.
Now, there are a lot of problems with digital that people are just starting to become aware of, which is sometimes if you got an okay analog picture, you know, maybe a little snow, a little, you know, that, and that was okay for you, you may not get any digital picture with the same antenna. It's a whole different technology. There's something called the digital cliff, which is either it's perfect or it ain't there at all. So there's no in between. You may need to upgrade your antenna to get a digital picture. But the sound quality is better. If you do get it, the sound quality is better. The picture is much better. It's not high definition, but it's pure digital.
Yeah, yeah.
So
and there's still millions of Americans who are on rabbit ears.
Sure.
I mean, if you've had cable for a long time, you just assume everybody's on cable, but that's not the case.
No, there's something like 18 million households that had rabbit ears or that use rabbit ears to watch over-the-air television on some or all of their television sets. Now, you know, some people may have cable on one.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, in the kitchen or a second set or, you know, whatever, they do use rabbit ears. So this is a big issue because they set it in the dead of winter, you know, and so it's a perfect time for there to be school closings when people turn on their television to their local
good
channels.
Point. Good point.
You know, gee, did school close? you know, ice storms. You know, there are all kinds of potential problems. The broadcasters would love for them to move this to June. First of all, having it in February, you've heard of the February sweeps when the television networks base their ad rates. So they want as many people watching as possible.
That's when the local news starts doing real stories with lots of cleavage and strip joints and your mattress is killing you, film at 11.
Exactly. Yeah. So they want as many viewers as possible in February, and this is threatening to just blow a hole completely in that. And in June, that's sort of the beginning of the summer television season. Ratings are way down. Nobody cares. You know, starts to be repeats.
Yeah.
And so that's a perfect time, in their view, to have a digital transition. So
we're talking with Jonathan Rentels with the Center for Creative Voices in Media. Milo is on the line. Let me get you to put on those headphones real quick, and we'll go to the phones. Milo, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, pretty good, Coy. How are you?
Very good, very good. Good to hear your voice. You're on with Jonathan. Go right ahead.
Hey, Jonathan, I heard somebody talk about another issue, a good reason not to postpone it was this date had been set in stone for so long that a lot of this equipment that's going to no longer work, these companies have contracted people to start dismantling on the 18th, and if this were to go through, that would be disruptive to a lot of companies who've been contracted to go dismantle a lot of this equipment. Is that true?
That is true, and that's a great point. There are reasons not, and there are people who don't want this postponed. You know, it's actually going to be optional to the broadcaster. If this passes, now remember, they need to pass a law, and the president needs to sign it for this date to be postponed. And under the legislation that's being considered now, it would be optional to the local broadcasters as to whether they did turn off their analog signal or not, for the very reason...
Somebody to come tear it down the 18th, and they don't want to change that. They're perfectly within their rights just to say, come tear all my antennas and junk down on the 18th, right?
That's right, as the legislation is written now, but that's not the final law. Now, for example, Hawaii has already completely transitioned to digital broadcasting. They already had their drop-dead date, and they had a lot of calls. They had a lot of problems, but they worked through it.
Yeah.
You know, and they have started dismantling their equipment. Wilmington, North Carolina was a test area for this, and they are transitioning to digital. So whenever the date is, there's going to be a lot of, you know, difficulty. There are clearly people who will be kind of left behind or need to be helped in the transition. A lot of seniors, minorities, people.
Like a, sort of like a mini Y2K, everybody's going to get water.
Exactly, exactly. Well, this is actually more of a real, you know, Y2K was handled very well, and so much money was thrown at it that it was not disruptive.
Yeah,
but all this right, could so be really disruptive.
My wife bought for Y2K. All right, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Milo. Appreciate it. Absolutely. Let's if we can, let me ask you about the stimulus package.
Yeah,
and your thoughts about what does this really mean for President Obama keeps referencing that one of the things in the stimulus package is broadband, that we want to, you know, it's infrastructure investment in broadband. What does this mean for us? What does this mean for Virginia, you think?
Well, broadband creates jobs, and Virginia has been a showplace for that. One of Senator, now President Obama's, first campaign stops to talk about the power of broadband, the power of technology to create jobs, was in Lebanon, Virginia, which is way out there. I mean,
Southwest.
Russell County, you know, near the border. And they brought a broadband fiber line into that area under, with the help of then Governor Mark Warner. And they created over 700 very high paying call center jobs in an area that was really economically ravaged by coal mine closings and, you know, furniture factory closings,
yeah,
so on. And they have had tremendous spin-off benefits of other jobs, of development, of the ability for the people in that area to be treated remotely and for health problems, you know, where they don't have a hospital or a clinic or a doctor nearby, for remote learning if they want to get skills that aren't locally available. And in fact, it was so successful at creating good-paying jobs, and so many people had left that area before the broadband came in, that Governor Kane had to set up what he called a Return to Roots program to bring some of the young people back for these good-paying knowledge worker jobs, because they couldn't fill them right away. So we actually had to bring, you know, people who had left for better economic opportunity, gone to other states or big cities or whatever, back to Russell County to fill a lot of these jobs. And it's really, so it's a real showplace for the power of broadband to create jobs. And those were jobs that were destined for other countries.
Yeah.
You know, this was offshoring, these call centers. They were going to India or, I believe, Canada or some other place where the costs, you know, because we now live in a flat world, if we're all connected by broadband and the cost of communication is so low, then jobs like this go to the place where the wages are the lowest. And that's why India and the Philippines and places like that have so many call centers.
I talked to them last night when I called customer service at XM Radio, and I was on the phone for 45 minutes. I talked to India, the Philippines, and Panama City.
Yep.
In one phone call.
Yep. Well, that's...
It kept transferring me around the world.
Well, hopefully one day that'll be Virginia.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah. So this when they say in Washington, we're going to spend money on infrastructure, if I hear what you're saying, when it comes to this kind of stuff, it really does create jobs.
It does create jobs.
And I'm not saying everything in that stimulus package is going to create jobs.
No.
I think we can all say there's some pork in there. But as far as this is concerned, this really does equal good new jobs.
This broadband, as I've said on your program before, is the infrastructure of the 21st century. It is to this century and this generation what the interstate highway system was in the 50s, what extending telephone service to every American was in the early 20th century, electricity. It is the infrastructure that is going to network all of us. All of those were networks.
Yeah.
All of those networked us together, and all of them stimulated tremendous economic activity by virtue of the networking. And that's what broadband is going to do.
Jonathan Rentels is the founder and the executive director at the Center for Creative Voices in Media. You can learn more online at creativevoices.us. Now, of course, we didn't get to everything we wanted to talk to,
no.
So we got to have you back because we want to talk about what the regulation of the media and the telecom industry and indecency and the FCC, what all of that might look like under this new administration. So let's do that real soon.
Love to be back.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Jonathan. I appreciate
it. I've enjoyed it, Coy. Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.